So at this point, Christ has been crucified. And we're going to see that Christ will start to appear among some of the disciples in John chapter 20. And some of the parallel Gospels that you can read this is Matthew 28 and Mark 16, Luke 24, and we'll be referring to a couple of those here this morning. But again, stop and think. If you were Thomas this morning, how would you have reacted to this? How would you have reacted to the fact that you've witnessed Christ being crucified? And now you are scattered about. You are scared to death, thinking, am I going to die? This Jesus, this Christ, this man that I've been following has now been put to death. And now I'm scared because we know that they all pretty much dispersed after Christ was crucified. And we're going to see them come back together here for a short time. But look in verse 18, and that kind of starts our study this morning dealing with doubt. And again, I don't want to get into too many definitions of the word doubt. I will in my sermon this morning. But it says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Again, referring back, going all the way up through verses 11 through 15. Basically, Mary had been in contact with Jesus after this crucifixion. Now, one thing that John does not place in here is something that we need to jump over to Mark chapter 16 and 11. So keep your fingers in John chapter 20, but jump back to Mark 16 and verse 11. Now, Mary is coming to the disciples and telling them, Christ is risen and I've seen him. All right? Well, she does the same thing, and we can see the same thing in Mark and also in Luke. But notice what happens in Mark 16 that John omits from his writings. In Mark 16 and 11, and it says, and she went and told them that they had went with him, and they mourned and wept. In verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Okay? So, and again, you can see the parallel verse over in Mark 24 and 11. It tells the same thing. So here we have Mary coming to the disciples who Christ had told. He told them, I will be raised from the dead. But they didn't believe Mary. All right? So these disciples are here and they've witnessed a lot. And again, we don't emphasize that too much. We always talk about this doubting Thomas. And we'll get to him again in just a moment. But from the very onset, there was some disbelief. Even though Jesus had laid the foundation that I will raise in three, I will walk again in 3 days. I will come back from the dead in a sense. But they didn't believe. And these were some of the closest followers of Jesus. But they didn't have a true understanding until they started realizing, and again, they're going to see Jesus here in just a moment. And then it's kind of like the puzzle pieces started to fit together. And I tell people that all the time with our lives and our walk as Christians. So even from this onset, the closest people to Christ didn't believe some things. But again, Jesus is going to show them, and they get to be witnesses of his resurrection. And then it starts to piece together. And then you start going, oh, now I see the picture. And that's what I think is so amazing about the scripture. It's like each time you read and you study, is just something just kind of starts fitting together. And the more and more you do that, the bigger the picture you see. And that's why I encourage people so often, and as we go through this study of things, these obstacles of doubt that we put in our way, that we can overcome that, the same as we're going to see the disciples overcome that here. So even from the beginning, they had some disbelief. And again, they had witnessed Christ perform miracles. They had witnessed Christ raise individuals from the dead. But here, at this point, there's still some disbelief. And again, I wanted to bring that scripture in there in John chapter 18 and 20 so you can have an understanding. And I'm even going to put it in a way of as we continue to study, and again, it's okay sometimes to not have a full belief in certain things. And again, I'm very careful when I say that as long as we're striving to find an answer. And again, that all ties in with our doubt that we're going to be talking about this week. So let's read several more verses here to get through to where we're going to run into an individual by the name of Thomas. Verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst, and he said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even send I you." So again, they went through this period or this phase of not believing when Mary Magdalene told them, "I've seen Jesus. He is risen from the dead." And they're like, "Oh, well, you can say that, but we don't believe you." But Jesus comes and he presents himself. So we see here in verse 19, they're locked away. Okay, again, they go into almost hiding for fear that they're going to be killed as well for being a follower of Jesus. If you stop and think about Peter denying Christ, Peter denied Christ for fear of him being arrested and captured. But again, that was the plan. That was Jesus' plan. Jesus foretold that he was going to do those things. Well, now after the fact, they've seen Christ crucified. They didn't believe, had some doubts, and then all of a sudden Jesus appears unto them. And Jesus gives them the visual example or the visual proof that he's now risen. And again, we see that there in verse 20. It says, "And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." And you know, as we go through our study this week, I'm going to try to give you some examples, some things to help build on our belief. We're going to focus a lot on the things of doubt, but also I'm going to try to flip that over and give you some an opportunity to see how the Scriptures handle things when it comes to belief. So now the disciples have this true belief. Okay, they've been able to be this witness. So again, I pose the question to you. If you were locked in this room and Mary had come and told you that Jesus has risen from the dead, would you believe that? Or would you have to be like these disciples to see the actual proof? You know, we talk all the time about in our world today, sometimes we struggle with the spiritual concepts and the worldly concepts, and we say, well, Jesus would, or if God would just show me the sign. If he would just show me something. Well, that's kind of what the disciples were doing here. They were saying, if I could just see something. But again, the more I dig into the Scriptures, we already have those examples before us. We have those signs. And we know Christ went on to tell people the only sign you're going to get is the resurrection. And we see that. So, now let's bring in this individual by the name of Thomas, this doubting Thomas. So let's jump over to verse 24 in John chapter 20. Verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." That's a pretty bold statement by Thomas here. He's basically saying, you know, I don't care what you say. Until I see actual proof, then I'm not going to believe that Jesus has risen. And so again, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from this. But let me ask you a couple questions. And there's not really a right answer to this, but I would like some feedback here. Why didn't Thomas believe? Stop to think about that. What are some reasons that you can think of? Why would Thomas have not believed? Now, Christ is, again, he has now appeared to Mary and a few others. He's now appeared to the disciples who were locked away, hiding because of persecution from the Jews. So they come forth and they, the other disciples, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, being Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see his wounds, basically, I'm not going to believe. So who can give me some reasons? Why would Thomas not believe? Yeah?
Well, we're deceived so much that we become very, very hesitant to believe things sometimes, I think. You know,
good answer, yeah.
Make this doubter, you know, everything, seems like everything I hear on the TV or news or wherever, I second guess what's behind that.
Exactly.
Probably no different in those days.
Exactly, and that's a great example. We're now in the business of fake news, okay, to where we don't know what to believe sometimes. And I agree. I think it's more. We see more and more of that in our society today, especially with so many false teachings that's out in the world. So that's a great example of Thomas saying, you know, I just don't know what to believe. Am I being deceived? Because again, the scriptures tell us there were other people that came before and said, yes, sir.
Of all the five senses that we have, the visual sense is probably the most convincing.
It is. You know, I live in the world of education, and most individuals learn best by seeing. They see things. So we've got the fact of he didn't want to be deceived. He was thinking he was deceived. We got the fact that he's wanting to see, okay, or he's wanting to see and feel this Jesus the Christ. So that's two reasons of why Thomas probably didn't believe. What else? Yeah, Chris?
This changes everything. You know, if this moment is true, and this is the same for us, if this moment is true, it changes everything we've ever known about our lives.
Right. It does. It changes the fact that even though the disciples saw Christ raise Lazarus from the dead, this is different than Christ being raised from the dead. What's the difference in Lazarus being raised from the dead and Christ? Who can tell me? What's the difference in... Well, I don't know if you can answer that with the way I posed that question, but Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was not mutilated. Does that make sense? These individuals had witnessed a man that they loved, his body, his flesh being ripped apart, his side being pierced. As for, we didn't have all of that with Lazarus. And so they have witnessed a man being brutally beaten, basically, to a pulp, blood raining from his forehead. And like Chris said, so now they're seeing something that this changes everything. You know, again, we don't know all the scriptural details of Lazarus being raised, but we can assume his body wasn't as mangled as Christ's body probably was. But it changes the entire concept of, my goodness, this, I'm going to see Jesus the Christ. And these disciples are telling Thomas, we've seen him. Okay? So we've got the fact that it changes the entire mindset and belief. Because again, some of the disciples didn't recognize it. We've got the mindset and the fact that Thomas may feel that he's being deceived. We've got the fact that he just really wants to see something. He needs that visual example. And then, what about, could Thomas have been jealous? And again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer because the scripture's not specific. Could Thomas have been jealous that he had not seen Christ yet, but the others have? That's a possibility that we can look at. So again, you stop and think about yourself as an individual and your walk as a Christian. Are some of those things pondering and bringing doubt in your mind? Are you afraid because there's so many different things that you're being deceived? I think a lot of individuals struggle with that in their walk as a Christian. There's a lot of individuals, like the gentleman said here, their sense of seeing things, they feel they have to have that proof, and they can't see it through the textual print of the Bible of that proof, and some can't. Or is it really, like Chris said, is it really changing your whole thought of life and death? Now, most of us, we have been raised in the church. We've always believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've always believed in His resurrection. But that's a hard concept for some people to pick up. Even the closest individuals here that were following Christ, it's a very tough concept for some people to wrap their mind around, because we do become so absorbed in the world. We become so absorbed in the physical things, the things we can touch, the things we can hear, the things we can see. And that's exactly what Thomas is doing here, in my belief. He wanted to be a follower of Christ. Yes, sir.
There may have been a belief, too, that he can raise others from the dead, but maybe not himself.
Not himself.
I mean, his critics, and he was on the cross.
There. Yeah.
He saved others himself.
He cannot save, yeah. Take yourself down there if you're so powerful.
That may have been
yeah.
in the back of their mind.
Right. And so there's so many things that I think we can learn from the doubt of Thomas here that can build our faith in walking as a Christian. But one of the biggest things that I get from Thomas here is the fact, I mean, I don't know the time frame. Danny or some of you others might be able to know the time frame of how long Thomas had been a disciple with Jesus. But I'm assuming he's witnessed a lot. He's been with these disciples. They are now a band of brothers, a bond of brothers. But they told Thomas, we've seen him, and Thomas wouldn't believe. So one of the biggest takes I get from this that I think a lot of us as Christians really struggle with, especially parents whose children who have not obeyed, of wives whose husbands have not obeyed, husbands whose wives have not obeyed, family members who have not obeyed, friends who have not obeyed, is it's hard to get some people to believe. Some of Thomas's closest friends right here, they told him, they said, we've seen him. But Thomas still didn't believe. How many times have you had a conversation with a friend or a family member about the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, about the necessity of baptism, and they still will not believe and take that step? That's the same thing that I take from this doubting Thomas of it's hard sometimes for family to save family. It's hard sometimes for family to save friends. And we all say, and I know this conversation's been had here, some of the hardest people it is to talk to about faith and belief in Jesus is family members. It's so hard sometimes when you've grown up with certain individuals, especially if you've not grown up in the church, and now you're a believer and you know it's true, but trying to get them to have an understanding that, you know, this is real. This is your salvation we're talking about. And then they're going, well, I grew up with you. I've been your sidekick for years, whether it be brother or sister, or you've been married to a person for so many years and they still just won't believe. Because that doubt continues to build upon. And I'm not sure we talk about that enough. And I think we need to, of why some people choose not to believe. And again, my lessons over the next few days are going to pinpoint some of those reasons why some individuals have this doubt. But again, I think a great starting point is here with Thomas. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes we get stuck and it's hard to move forward, you know. Not just about, it's changed everything, but it's hard for people to accept to move forward. If you're not a Christian, you know, to start going to church, it changes your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And just to go to, you know, it's a big decision to make for people, and it's just hard to move forward. Maybe the same for Thomas, you know, it changed everything.
Yeah. Right. To actually, you know, to see that witness, or to witness to say, okay, it's happened, I'm now going to believe. But you know, Thomas was pretty adamant here. He said there, you know, the last part of verse 25, he says, I will not believe. I mean, he's very bold here. Because again, he was a follower of Jesus. He believed in the teachings of Jesus. But here, he's not going to believe his friends. He's not going to believe these disciples. He's leaving that out. And there's a lot of people that say that. You know, you have conversations with individuals, and they'll. I'm not calling it an out and out belief, disbelief. And again, I'll define that more this morning. But I think sometimes they just want that proof, and sometimes they won't accept the scriptures as that proof, and that's the hard part. And you keep trying, and you keep trying, and I hate to say it, you win some, you lose some. Is hard as we, you know, try. Yeah, Corey.
I'm not necessarily going to suggest this is part of Thomas' thinking, but just in general, to kind of piggyback off what Roy was saying just a second ago about, and to Chris's point too, about how this changes everything. When your thoughts there about how difficult it is to speak to family members sometimes, people that you're close to that that there should be that sort of bond of trust that you, you know, you tell me it's black and I believe you because I love you, my brother, and I don't have to see it's black. Because, you know, I've had this conversation just recently with someone who's living in sin and doing some things that they admittedly know is not right. But they don't want to change because if they accept that it's wrong and they change, then that means that all of this sort of, it's like a chain reaction in their mind begins to happen that, well, if you're trying to tell me that I'm wrong, well, that means that my mom's wrong and that my grandma's wrong. And, and you know, we've lived all these years believing that they're in heaven, that they were saints. And,
right. And so
there's that, I think, to say that it changes everything, you know, that's true, but I think we got to peel those layers back and really understand why it changes everything for people when we're talking to them.
Good point.
And try to figure out a way to appeal to that or to address that head on.
Yeah.
In some way, and it's a delicate, difficult
very
conversation,
delicate.
But
it is.
It's one that's got to be had.
It is. It's very delicate, you know. You hear people ask all the time, especially when they're dealing with the issues of death. You know, I preached a young man's funeral about 6 years ago. And I remember meeting with the family. And she didn't say much as they were making the arrangements and were sitting there. But she leaned over and she asked me the question. And she said, "Just tell me he's in heaven. Please tell me he's in heaven." And she wanted that comfort. She wanted to know that. And we had a good discussion. That's a tough question to answer when you're talking to a grieving mother who's getting ready to bury her 16-year-old son. And you're just like, how I respond here is going to do one of two things. It's going to peel the layers back and help this woman have an understanding, or I'm going to cause her to close this book and she'll never open it again. And that's, you have to be so careful when it comes to people's doubts and their questions. And you want to abide by the scriptures, but there's always, again, sometimes you feel like you're walking on eggshells, but you have to think that way sometimes. You really do when it comes to my mission, and I hope it's the mission of others, and that's to save souls. And again, you start realizing and you see the pain. And I also sense the pain of Thomas. Of someone more than likely, I mean, we know he loved Jesus. For him to follow Jesus during this time of persecution, he had to love Jesus. And he has witnessed the crucifixion of someone that he loved. And now he's dealing with that. And so you do have to peel back those layers sometimes. I agree with you on that, of getting to the core of trying, because it is changing their mindset of things. It's changing the way they've thought or believed. And so you've got to peel back each layer of doubt and try to work with that. And again, I think we'll cover a lot of that. Just the last couple points here dealing with this doubt that I try to tell people. Thomas had doubt, okay? But verse 26... In this setting, it's not humorous, but in a way it's humorous to me. And it's the first few words. It says, "And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst of them." So here we're going to see Jesus finally present himself to Thomas. But the amusing part, and again it's not a chuckle amusing, but more of knowing that God does things in his own time. Thomas said, I don't believe, I will not believe until I see Jesus and I can put my finger or my hand in his side. Well, that didn't make Jesus just, well, Thomas, don't believe. I better, okay, here Thomas, here I am. He waited 8 days, okay? He did it in his time. He didn't rush. He didn't say, okay, Thomas has some doubts, so I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to fix it right now. And again, because sometimes it takes time. We can never assume that we can make things happen instantly when it comes to people's belief, when it comes to people's doubts. It takes time. And I think the same here with Jesus is he didn't just jump right, you know, out and try to fix Thomas's doubts and his non-belief here of him being risen. But he does. And again, we know the rest of the story. And that's the good thing about it. So he does appear to Thomas. And then Thomas is able there in verse 27. Thomas is able to put his finger. He's able to look at his hands. He's able to thrust them in his side. And Jesus gives him the commandment here. He says, and be not faithless, but believing. And that's what I'm hoping we can build on over the next few days. If we're going to look at a lot of examples of doubt, the same as Thomas had here, of trying to build up that faith. And again, we're going to use some language that isn't always in the negative when it comes to doubt. There's sometimes a need for doubt. There's a need for questioning. And there in verse 28 it says, and then Thomas answered and he said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Going back to what the gentleman said here of the fact that Thomas believed because he was able to see. And as we go through our study, we're going, by the end of the week, moving into Wednesday, we're going to see that it's not the physical ability being able to see for those who are blessed. Because Christ says, blessed are those that have not seen, but they believe. And so we can try to tie all this in together and hopefully, again, build on our faith and build on our belief. But again, Thomas is a unique character. Thomas is a lot like individuals like us. You know, there's just little, you know, sometimes there's just little things that get in the way. And again, I'm hoping through our study this week that we'll find some answers and solutions to a few things that get in our way, but hopefully to build on our faith. Anybody have any questions or comments at this point? Well, I guess we'll go ahead and stop there. Thank you all for your help this morning.